Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Before we get to John McClain, I understand Blair Durham called in and said, no, they can't afford a baseball team, and nor would they want one.
That's, want to own one. Blair, we love you. Thanks for listening. Awesome.
We'll send you a bill for that free advertising.
We will, yeah. And then when you do own the team, Chase and I will run the front office operations for you.
Yes.
So you guys can enjoy the game. So thank you, Mr. Durham. We appreciate you, buddy.
Absolutely. Let's say hello to our man, John McClain, down in Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. As a diehard baseball fan since I was a kid who follows, I read, listen to, and watch everything I can about baseball. And I've been curious about baseball expansion ever since Dave Dombrowski was hired there. Now he's gone, of course. And everything I've read and heard is Nashville will be the first city to get an expansion team when they expand. And one reason is because the way the area has grown. Number two is because of the can-do attitude, beginning with, of course, the Titans, and then the Preds, and eventually, I don't know when, but as the city continues to grow, wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, this might be 15, 20 years that Nashville get an NBA team if it wanted it. And because the city has been so good at building public arenas, venues, the Titans' new stadium, I know a lot of work went on behind the scenes to get that done by a lot of people, did a great job on both sides, but it was the quietest thing I've ever seen about a team getting a stadium. And that's a credit to everybody involved, whether they're with the Titans or the local government, county, city. And so there's no doubt in my mind, you guys are going to get a baseball team. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
I'd be curious of your thoughts on this, since you've seen both there in Houston. If Nash, and obviously it'd be a little different because it would be expansion, but what do you think, if it happened, would American League or National League be better? Because obviously if it's American League, you're going to draw the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, and, you know, big fan bases. National League, you could create a, you know, a rivalry with the Braves by potentially being in the same division, albeit you could do interleague every year. But is there a preference? And did you see a difference in, you know, the fan base when it went from National League to American League there with the Stros?
A lot of people didn't like the switch because they'd been National League since their inception in 1962 as the Colt 45s. And I'll never forget the first game. I ran this by their owner one time, Drayton McClain, when we were spring training, and I knew Drayton. He's a big base, got his name on the Baylor football stadium, and he asked me, why is it that a football guy knows so much about my team? And I said, well, I've been listening to your team since first game in 1962, and I said, I bet you can't tell me who the Colt 45s beat, who the winning pitcher was, and who had two home runs. And he said, no, we were at his new office. He was showing me at spring training. And he said, but I bet you can tell me. I said, yep, they beat the Cubs. Bobby Shantz, a little left-handed pitcher, got the win. Ramon Mejias hit two home runs. And I said, you should know that. You grew up in Cameron, which is close to Waco. You could have been listening to the Colt 45s and Astros every summer night like I did. He said, wow. While you were sitting around listening to Astros, I was delivering groceries for my daddy, which helped me buy this team. And I said, in other words, you were becoming a billionaire while I was making minimum wage mowing yards. He said, yes. And I thought that was interesting because by the time they expand in baseball, yesterday I read a thing that said it could be the 30s, which really is not that far away when you think about it, and everything you got to get together. But nobody liked the American League because they had to start going to the West Coast. And those are long trips out there. But they used to go to San Francisco, and they used to go to the L.A., but now they're in the same division with Seattle and the Angels, and they don't like that. But they also get to have the rivalry with the Rangers, which is what I hope the rivalry between the Texans and the Titans becomes someday, because they hate each other. And that's kind of what happens when you go play to go to the World Series and you're both good every year. So my recommendation would be the National League, because of natural rivalry with the Braves. And problem is there's so many Braves fans there.
Oh, the Braves would hate this. The Braves would absolutely hate this.
Hard to convert them. And, but I think it would, National League would be the best.
John, I was looking up as far as expansion. You know, Houston is mentioned quite a bit in the NHL. Could Houston support an NHL team?
If Dallas supports four teams and Phoenix and Denver, we're bigger than all those three cities combined. Yes, I covered hockey when I came to Houston. Gordie Howe and his sons, Mark and Marty, and they sold out every game while the Rockets were so desperate. They were playing home games at Waco and San Antonio. And then those Arrows, 50-year anniversary of those Arrows, which is getting a lot of attention now, but they were winners. They won two championships, lost in the finals two more times. And when you got Mr. Hockey, and that was such a huge story, Gordie Howe coming out of retirement with the Red Wings at 44. Now that's not that big of a deal if you're playing into your 40s, but it was unheard of back then. And he playing with his sons, which was unheard of. It was a great story. And I always tell people, learning hockey from Gordie Howe was like learning the Bible from Jesus. And I would never trade those two seasons of covering those original Houston Arrows. The problem here is they've made attempts. Bob McNair made attempts. Bob McNair, at one point, when the Predators were being sold for the last time, I asked McNair, you got any ideas of buying the Predators and moving them to Houston like they moved the Oilers to Nashville? And he said, no, I'm here, and they're going to get a new local ownership. I can't remember when that was. And so they tried, but right now it's a long way away because you don't see franchises moving anymore, which they don't want to expand. I don't think any time in the NHL it's hard enough to get good players for all the teams they have now. But the ideal expansion franchise was Las Vegas to get as good as they did so fast. That helps create the interest, and not when you're chugging along as one of the worst teams in the league for multiple years.
Hey, John, when the Oilers moved from Houston to Nashville, did Bud Adams lose a vote on the owners committee or something?
No, I don't remember that he lost a vote when he moved the team, because he's still on the team.
Well, it lost something. He couldn't be on a committee or something. Well,
it might have been that he couldn't have been on a couple of committees he was on, like the finance or expansion. I don't remember. But he didn't lose his vote as an owner. There were still, you know, he got a vote like everybody else on league matters.
Oh, okay. And the other part of that question is, you know, what did the NFL learn from battling Al Davis all those years about moving from Oakland to Los Angeles back to Oakland? How many untold millions were spent, John, on legal fees on that battle for so many years?
Well, that was because Al Davis and Pete Rozelle hated each other, and it was because Davis was commissioner of the American Football League when they had the merger, and he thought he would get to be the commissioner of the merged leagues, and the merger was in 1970, but they kept Pete Rozelle, which they should have, because he's one of the greatest commissioners in the history of any sport, and Davis and he clashed constantly over signing players. Rozelle was general manager of the Rams, and the American Football League was trying to steal his players, sign players. Bud pulled a fast one and signed Heisman Trophy winner Billy Cannon over the Rams. And Bud did that by getting Billy Cannon to come to Houston before his senior season. Now, I know this is true because Bud told me, and nobody else knows this, although I think I've told it enough, Bud got Billy Cannon, who was one of the best players in the country. And the AFL wanted him desperately. And so he came to Bud's house. Bud and Nancy took him to dinner. Nancy just got in a brand-new white Cadillac convertible. And they took Billy Cannon to this famous restaurant here, Sunny Looks. They take him back home. Nancy disappears in the house, And so Bud pulls out a contract out of a drawer and said, whatever Roselle's offering you with the Rams, I'll offer you four times as much. You just got to sign right here. And this was going on like crazy, signing players before their eligibility was up, you know. And so Billy Cannon looked at that white Cadillac convertible and told Bud that my dad has been so poor, if you could let me have that white Cadillac convertible to drive back to Louisiana, I'll sign it. But nobody can know it. Bud said, of course. He signed right there. He got the keys, gave it to him, and he left. Nancy comes in there and says, Bud, did you put my car in the garage? Well, no, not exactly. Well, what'd you do with it? What happened to that nice young man who was here? And he said, that nice young man drove your Cadillac back to Louisiana to give to his father. And she said, well, Bud Adams, you get me another one on Monday. So he did. And they went out to celebrate at the same Sonny Lux restaurant. And they were in the restaurant celebrating. And they'd driven brand new white Cadillac convertible. And the owner, Sonny Lux, comes into the dining room and says, whoever's driving the white Cadillac convertible in the parking lot, it's on fire. So everybody ran outside. Bud, I guess Nancy, they smoked. One of them thumped their cigarette, and it blew back into the back. And as it burned, Nancy said to Bud, Bud, he said, I know. I'll get you another one tomorrow. So they had three in a short period of time.
Wow.
And after the Sugar Bowl, a big deal was made with Billy Cannon signing with Oilers. And it was a great picture. The photographer was on the ground looking up at Cannon under the goalpost with a cloudy sky. It was beautiful. I think it was after the Sugar Bowl. And so that's how Billy Cannon ended up coming to Houston.
That is a fantastic story.
Is it not?
That is awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Man. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Can't miss radio for sure. Here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing our conversation with the great John McClain from Houston. And that I'm still just reveling over the Billy Cannon story. That's a fantastic one. Three white Cadillacs, John. That's just unbelievable.
Cadillac convertibles.
Or Cadillac convertibles, which I know were the hot thing back then. So,
by the way, can I weigh in on the nickname?
Yes.
The
yes.
Bad? Well, I got a nickname that certainly nobody would want for the baseball team to have, the Nashville Oilers. And anything involving cats with a C or a K or the Nats, G-N-A-T-S, because they've got the Nationals. Actually, I love the Oilers name. I'd love to see them do it, but of course, they would never do that.
Well, speaking of that, I know the Texans are going to be unveiling new uniforms, and the rumor is that the Columbia Blue it can't be the primary, but it's going to work its way in there somehow. Have you heard anything more about that?
Well, I have seen the workups, and they're going to unveil them at the draft, and they're still primary colors. Are going to be what they've been, red, white, and blue. That's what Bob McNair wanted because he felt strongly about the shade of colors they have. But if the uniforms are going to be totally different. And I will say this, they may work in another couple of colors.
There you go. Question on our text line for you. Who were the two teams that voted against the Rams moving to L.A.?
Oh, boy, I can't remember. That's so long ago. I have no idea. Probably Cincinnati. Mike Brown voted no on everything that happened in the NFL. And the other one, I don't remember. I'm sure it was Al Davis was one because the Raiders have so many fans in L.A. A lot of people thought that the Raiders should have been the team to move to L.A. to share the stadium with the Rams. Instead of the Chargers and let the Chargers go to Vegas. But the Rams, knowing that the Raiders had a huge fan base there that had remained loyal and is still loyal, and a lot of those fans that come to Vegas come from L.A. and not just the Oakland, not just the Bay Area. But I guarantee Al Davis was the other one.
John, how close did the Oilers go to moving to Memphis in the late 80s and after that Jacksonville? Was it, you know, because I've heard like it was really close and others have said wasn't that close at all. You would know.
Never. And, but in Jacksonville, which was desperate for a team, any team, the Oilers had played an exhibition game there as they also played in Memphis. And Jacksonville was ready to do anything they wanted. And what they wanted, it was an expansion of the Astrodome. And critics who didn't like the fact it took out their big scoreboard but said, well, Bud got 10,000 seats. No, he got 7,500. And the beneficiary financially, more than the Oilers, was the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. When they're here for 2 weeks in March, they bring in more money and sell more tickets than the Oilers could if they sold out every single game. And a rodeo is like the 800-pound gorilla here. It sits wherever it wants. And they stayed out of it and let Bud get all the criticism from fans and media. And then once everybody go in and saw the capacity had been increased and they could live without the exploding scoreboard from foul pole to foul pole, people liked it. But they actually went to Jacksonville and made trips there, and then the city and the county gave Bud what he wanted, and the rodeo as well. It's just everybody loved the rodeo. At that point, people were so mad at Bud because they'd been losing. Well, when they expanded it, and it started, they made the playoffs 7 years in a row, and they sold out all those seats. So then people were happy that it had been done.
Nice. John, somebody wants to ask you, could Salt Lake City support an NFL franchise if they expanded within the United States?
No, I don't think that Salt Lake has ever been mentioned as an expansion franchise. In fact, I haven't even heard. There's a lot of cities. You know, every city would do anything it could to get an expansion franchise. But I think when the NFL expands, and might be 20 years, it's going to be in Europe. They want to put two teams in London like they put two in L.A. And then if they went into Canada, Toronto would be first on the list. And if they went south, it would be Mexico City. But I think if they expanded two teams, it's going to be in London, and it would be sometime in the 30s.
John, real quick, you know, we're in list season now with the NFL and, you know, best fits for free agents. And ESPN had Saquon Barkley as being a really good fit for the Texans in that offense and another weapon for C.J. Stroud. I guess anything's likely, anything's possible at this point, but how big would it be if they landed Saquon Barkley?
Well, they're not. It's a moot point. It's why I love watching fans and national media talk about all these guys who could be going here and there. Fans here have the Texans signing Saquon Barkley, Chris Jones, and Mike Evans, and of course none of them are coming here, but it makes for good talk show fodder, but Barkley, no. They're not going to spend money on a running back in a zone scheme. You can get one without, but that is what they need to improve. And I think if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm calling Andy Reid about coming to Kansas City and let Andy dictate the contract, and then it probably ends up at Baltimore. He just seems like such a natural for a team that uses different running backs, which would preserve him. It also leads the league in rushing.
John, great stuff as always. Love these conversations with you, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. John McClain from Houston joining us here on the program. A little baseball, a little hockey, a little football, a little bit of everything.
I mean, that Cadillac story is simply fantastic.
Oh, that's a great one.
He took his wife's Cadillac and gave it to Billy Cannon. I mean, how do you just top that? That's wonderful.
That is a great one. We'll get back to our question of the day. Plus, there's an interesting question on the text line in regards to Nashville and Houston that I kind of want to get into. We'll do that next and much more. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.